This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%.
Now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha with the Trotaguna, Imatina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, long as she fat, yeah, she became a shuana. Eo Moyawa, or paying the water for money. Anna does a fat Yanamibia, of the Tom Banara, Orangeka. Faith and Nina, Omeru, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yonge Shifaro, Kupitramo, Eagle from Media House. We 22 Miha, Uka Kumbanga Nina. Kara omkwashifregi imopo yomo programa detu moambo lingira selma kodarahi tatu imu tatu ndatu heori kamano kano kawa bilaj ikelo sem
a very good morning to you my dear listener, a very good morning to you Namibia, good morning ladies and gentlemen, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave, good morning to you. We're entering actually a new month. It's October the 1st. Sometimes you wonder, when somebody said, I'm going to choose something in the year, it's not something that you have to think, oh, that's going to take a long time. Yeah, it just flew like poof. You know, seriously, a year, it's nothing anymore. Just to think it's about 2 months before the end of the year. My good Lord, where did the months gone? So good morning. How are you this morning? It's the 1st of October. We're entering a new month. Welcome to your favorite and your number one talk radio station. This is Eagle FM, and thanks for choosing us this morning to be in your company. It's always our pleasure to be in your company. So my name is Mike Oshoveni, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, good morning. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 8. I will be with you until 10 o'clock. So, and we're coming live from Ondangwa Studio. So make sure that you are with us. You are unpacking this morning with us. So, and as usual, we're looking at what happened on this day in Africa, the 1st of October. So it is a Nigeria Independence Day on the 1st of October in 1960. Nigeria gained independence from the king from United Kingdom. This day is celebrated annually in Nigeria with official ceremonies, military parade, and cultural displays and public events. So, the first government was led by Prime Minister Abubakar Tafawa Balewa, and this date has remained a significant national holiday ever since. So, Southern Cameroon joined the Republic of Cameroon on the 1st of October 1961, which was another notable event on this day in African history. And the South African College was founded on the 1st of October 1829, which later evolved into the University of Cape Town and South African College Schools. So marking an important educational foundation in South Africa. In 1991, the United Nations officially designated October the 1st as the International Day of Older Persons. Today is an International Day of Older Persons. So this was now designated to raise awareness about the challenges and opportunities of aging and recognizing the contribution of the elderly. So make sure that today, you know, if you have one of the old, maybe your grandma, your grandpa, make sure that you pay a visit to them. You pay a visit to them today on their International Day, on the International Day of the Older Persons. And definitely this is the day when we raised the day that it was designed to raise awareness about challenges and opportunities of aging and recognizing their contribution of elderly. So make sure that you pay a visit at the old age house. Just, you know, they would appreciate that. And just, you know, make sure that you are thankful for what they have contributed to the country and to the well-being of the country. So, do that, especially in your family. Visit someone that is old and tell that you appreciate them and their contribution to the well-being of the family. So, yeah, it's an International Day of Older Persons. So today is Wednesday, the 1st of October, and the thought for the day is, do not allow the belly to make you useless. Do not allow the belly to make you useless. So the proverb means what is this computer doing? All right, just hold on. So now the proverb means one should not let physical desires, especially immediate needs, control or weaken your resolve or productivity. Okay, so it's a caution against being dominated by momentary appetite or comfort to the extent that it makes a person lazy, ineffective, or unable to act with purpose. So the proverbs encourage thinking beyond immediate gratification and maintaining discipline, strength, and usefulness despite basic urges or hardship. So don't let, do not allow the belly to make you useless. So hopefully that's our thought for the day, and hopefully that would help you to control. That would help you. The choices that you make and decision that you make, that you not, that you actually, you know, you are not dominated by momentary appetite or comfort to the extent that it makes you lazy, ineffective, or unable to act with purpose. So good morning to you, and welcome to Unpacking the day. Our time is about 9 minutes past the hour of 8. And so what you can expect, okay, what you can expect today in the show, Kabila's sentence, and what does it mean? You know, we're looking at the Kabila's sentence from the RC, and what does it mean? And we have AGOA. AGOA expired yesterday. The AGOA expired after 25 years. What is next? What is next for the African countries? And if we still have time, we're going to look at, is the global financial system working for Namibia? So those are some of the topical discussion that we will have this morning. Make sure that you unpack with me these important topics on the show this morning. So when we come back, we get into Kabila's sentence and what does it mean.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, welcome back. And as I always said, the Eagle FM mobile app is one of those. If you're like me, sort of a go person, you know, where you're not actually in the same place all the time. You are on go kind of a person like myself. So there's so many things that I need to do. I always having the Eagle FM mobile, the Eagle mobile app. It does help me quite a lot just to listen to the radio wherever I am. I can anytime, anywhere, I can be able to be connected to Eagle FM. And there are also a lot of other things that I can look at. Even sometimes when you have been busy, you are so busy and you kind of have no time maybe to listen to the show at that time. So I can always go back to the podcast and listen to my favorite shows. There are news, there are schedules of different shows, when you want to know when actually the show is going to play. So sometimes there are vacancies there. There are kind of a number of report, you know, on the app as well. And also the political manifestos, it's also coming up. November is coming up, as I said, and you want just to see, okay, what is my party stand for again when it comes to maybe decentralization in terms of regional decentralization or something like that. So now it's there quite a lot there, quite a lot of reporters as well. So make sure that you know, you download and you're not missing anything. So yeah. All right. So welcome to Eagle FM and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Make sure that you download an Eagle FM mobile app. So, and you can do that from Google Play and also the Play Store. So, all right. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. And a very good morning to you and good morning to Namibia. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dive into the stories that shape our world and sometime our continent. So my name is Michael Chevelli, and today we are turning our gaze towards our neighbors, okay? Our neighbors in the Democratic Republic of Congo, a nation that has, for many years actually, for decades, been headlining itself due to its ongoing struggles. So now, this past week, okay, a significant development emerged from Kinshasa, the DRC capital. An ex-president, Joseph Kabila, has been sentenced to death. Yes, you heard me. That death sentence for Kabila handed down in absentia. So that's also another thing. So handed down in absence, a trial where he wasn't present. It's a trial where he wasn't present and he wasn't represented. And the charge, what was the charge? The charge was treason. You know, the charge was treason. Now, it was done in his absence, handed down. The sentence, actually, the death sentence was handed down in absence. He was not there. The trial where, so he wasn't present, and also he was not represented. So, and with these important charges of treason. Now, Joseph Kabila is not just another former leader. I mean, he was at the helm of the DRC for a very, very long time, from 2001 all the way to 2019. Okay? So for about 19 years. So he took over after his father, Laurent Desire Kabila, who was actually assassinated. So we are talking about a figure who has deeply shaped the political landscape of a country that is already incredibly complex. You know, DRC is very, 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 very complex. So now, the core of this treason charge, as reported, let me put it that way, as reported, is his allegedly, is this alleged involvement with the M23 rebel group. So this is a group that, with alleged help from Rwanda, has seized significant territory in the eastern part of the DRC. And this eastern region, as many of you know, is rich in resources. Think minerals, valuable ones. The valuable ones are mostly found in that region. And it has been a hotbed of conflict for far too long, that region, and causing immense suffering for people. Now, Kabila himself was last seen in the DRC earlier this year, making a brief appearance in Goma, a city in that volatile eastern region. So that visit, as you can imagine, caused quite a stir, a lot of disquiet in the capital. So why now, you know, a death sentence in absentia for a former president? You know, a death sentence in absentia for a former president. And what is really going on behind these headlines? Okay, that's what we are here to unpack this morning. So we'll be looking at the implication, the whisper of political motives, all right, and how this might impact a region already railing on instability. And, well, stick around, because this story is more than just a legal verdict. It is a political earthquake. So we'll be back after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the RR.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Welcome back. And now let's break this down a bit. Okay, let's look at this. Let's unpack this a bit. So now, these sentences came from a military court, and the term in absentia, meaning he wasn't there, is a crucial one here. All right, it raises immediate question about due process and also about fairness. Think of any justice system, okay? In any justice system, especially when dealing with such a serious charges, for example, being being present to defend yourself is a fundamental. Eh? It's a fundamental. I'm not a lawyer or something, but you being present to defend yourself, it's very important. The fact that Kabila wasn't there and allegedly wasn't represented, I think it's a red flag for many observers, for many people who actually think about this. So the accusation is that Kabila is complicit with the M23 rebels, the military persecutor. So now the military persecutor, Lucien Rein Likulia, has pointed fingers accusing Kabila of plotting to overthrow the current president, Felix Tshisekedi. And it is not just a collaboration with M23. The charges also mention things like homicide, torture, and rape, allegedly linked to M23 activities. So that is incredibly serious and painting a grim picture of the alleged involvement. Now, the prosecutor also specifically mentioned Rwanda's role, claiming Kabila was coordinating with them to stage a coup. So he was actually coordinating with the Rwandan to stage a coup. So Rwanda, meanwhile, consistently denies backing M23, though United Nations experts have stated the Rwandan army has played a critical part in M23's advances. So this of course adds another layer. Now, this is another layer of international tensions to an already complicated situation. So now, what is the bigger picture here? Okay, let's look at that. What is the bigger picture here? So why might this trial, okay, and sentences be happening now? Okay, let's think about that. So analysts suggest that this is a move to neutralize Kabila as a political force. So there are those analysts who are looking at that. This is actually a move by the government, by the maybe current president, to neutralize Kabila as a political force. So he ruled. Remember, Kabila ruled for about 18 years. That's a long time to build loyalties and networks. So even though he is out of power, he could still be rallying, point for opposition. So if he were to unify those discontent factions in DRC, those who are not happy with the government, for example, he could actually pose a significant threat to President Tshisekedi's government. So the argument goes, this sentence is a way to legally remove that possibility, to sideline him completely. So that's what some analysts said. Now, it's also interesting to note that the DRC lifted its moratorium on the death penalty last year. Now, this is also worth remembering. It hasn't been the moratorium that hasn't been used for judicial execution in a long time. So reviving it for former president, even in absentia, so signal a significant shift in the DRC approach to justice now, and perhaps its political arena. So let's think about the implication, even for us, maybe for neighbors, for Namibia, for the region. So the DRC is, as we know, it's a vast country, a neighbor, and its stability directly actually impact us when we're talking about free trade areas. Definitely with volatile situation, tension situation in DRC, you can't talk about continental free trade areas, So And with this ongoing conflict in the East, the ongoing conflict in the East, fueled by the rebel groups, you know, and alleged foreign interference, has led to millions displaced as well. There's also a lot of people that were displaced, people that are suffering. And think about humanitarian crisis, refugee flows, and the economic impact of instability on trade and resources. You know, these resources are being just plugged out, you know, because there are not any control. So when we hear about a former president being sentenced to death, well, it is easy to dismiss it as an internal DRC matter. But this is not just about Kabila. It is about the ongoing violence in the East, the role of neighboring countries, and the struggle of control over those immense wealth in that region. So the DRC's mineral resources are a major driver of much of this conflict. So who benefits from the exploitation of these resources? So, and what human cost, at what human cost, really? And there are foreign entities that are actually benefiting from this. Yeah? And we have seen this play out. We have seen this playing out for decades. It's years and years. This is more like the whole thing of DRC is more like the whole, you know, whole question of Israel and Palestine that comes for years. Yeah? So now the accusation against Kabila, linking him to the M23 and to Rwanda, point to a complex web also of alliances and rivalries, which make it more even complex. So it's not simple as good guys versus bad guys. It's not that as simple as that. All sides have been accused of, even all sides, even the government, all sides have been accused of serious human rights abuses. So the M23, as mentioned, has been accused of atrocities, but the DRC government itself, under past and present leadership, has also faced scrutiny as well. So this sentence could also be seen as a move by President Tshisekedi to consolidate his power. He has been dealing with internal dissent and the president issue of armed group. So by taking such a strong stance against a former leader, so he might be trying to project an image of strength and decisive leadership. So, but these sentences truly address the root causes of the conflict? Or is it as David also was putting it, is this a political maneuver that could maybe further destabilize the country? So the Kabila's response, or rather the response from his party, has been to call it a political trial. So they said this is a political trial. This is a common accusation when political figures face legal actions that seem to have political undertones. So yeah, it raises the question, is this a genuine pursuit of justice for alleged crimes or a weaponizing of the legal system for political gain? It's often hard to tell. I think it's really often hard to tell, and the truth might lie somewhere in between. So we also need to consider the fact that Kabila's whereabouts are currently unknown. So he left the country in 2023, and while he popped up briefly in Goma in May, his current location is not publicly, it's not a public knowledge. So, and this makes the execution of such a sentence, if it were ever to be considered, highly problematic. So, and it's also added to the air of mystery and potential political maneuvering surrounding the entire affair, you know? So what can we take away from this? So what can we take away from this story? So first, this highlights the president, the persistence, instability in the DRC. It's a country that, despite its vast potential, rich in mineral, remain actually plagued by conflict, largely in its eastern regions, where much of the of these resources are. And this instability has ripple effect from humanitarian concern to also regional security. So, secondly, it raises a crucial question about accountability and justice in post-conflict or political turbulent nations like DRC. So, and when is a legal process truly about justice, or and when is it a tool of political power? So the accusation against Kabila are severe, but the context of the trial, in absentia, a military court for that matter, and the political climate demand a careful consideration, really. So, because you don't want countries, especially in SADC for that matter, to operate in that manner. So, thirdly, the alleged involvement of Rwanda adds a regional dimension as well, which put more fuel on the issue. And this is not just an internal DRC issue. So it involves complex interstate relations and accusation of meddling. So how neighboring countries navigate this tension is vital for regional peace, which actually needed if we need to focus on more economic development. And finally, it forces us to think about the legacy of long-standing leaders. Joseph Kabila was in power for nearly two decades. So his influence and any potential fallout from his time in leadership will continue to shape the DRC for years to come. So this sentence, regardless of its ultimate impact, it says a significant chapter in that ongoing story. So the DRC journey towards peace and stability is a long and, I think, difficult one. No one seemed to really come up with a ultimate solution, and this death and this death sentence, whether a genuine act of justice or political maneuver, adds another layer of complexity to an already challenging path. So it leaves us with more questions than answers. So, and a reminder that the situation in our neighboring, you know, the situation in our neighboring giant is something we all need to, I think, to watch closely, because it will definitely have impact on regional security. So, yeah, what is your take on the Kabila sentence? So what are your thoughts on this? You can come through our telephone number 08-333-66-08-333-66-091. We are coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So what is your take? What is your overall thought on this whole question of death sentence to a former, to the ex-president of DRC, Laurent Kabila? So 08-333-66-091. So you are most welcome to come through and have your contribution on this issue. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
So, every good morning to you. Our time is about 36 minutes past the hour of 8, and we're talking about Kabila's sentence and what that actually means for the people of DRC and also for regional security. So you most welcome to come through and have your contribution or your thoughts on that. The concern is actually about as the core, the really core of this of treason charge, as it's reported, is allegedly involved in with the those are the charges with the M23 rebel group, and we know that this group also allegedly got help actually from Rwanda. To be able to seize, to capture the eastern part of the DRC, which is actually a region that is with rich resources. And, So now he didn't appear. So he didn't appear actually for his sentence, for his death sentence. So it was done in absentia. And also he wasn't represented. So, and as I said, for me, any justice system should be able to allow you to be present or being represented to defend yourself so you're not heard at all. So now, so what would be the implications, you know? What would be the implication of that of this move and this is a military court. This is actually it's not actually the judicial institution in a DRC. This is actually done by the military, you know. So yeah. So what do you think about, you know, about the sentence? It came, the sentences, as I said, it came from the military court, and it's done in absentia, meaning that it was, you know, so he wasn't there, and that's actually still raises some question about due process and about fairness as well. So, and any justice system. And especially when you're dealing with some serious charges like this one, being you should be present to defend yourself. That should be a fundamental right for anybody. So what is your? There's also that. There's also that. That why actually this is happening? Why this trial and sentences been happening now? So there are those who suggest that, analysts who suggest that maybe this is a move actually to neutralize Kabila's political force. because he still have, you know, because he had, being an ex-president, he must still have loyalties and networks. And if he's thinking of rallying to become an opposition, or maybe coming back, so it's, why not just, you know, stop that right away? And this is being seen as a political maneuvering to definitely sideline him completely. So, and the other thing is also, the other interesting thing is also that the moratorium on the death penalty has been actually lifted, and it has been now used for judicial execution it hasn't been actually used, you know, when it comes to judicial executions, so in a long time. So now reviving it for for a former president, even in absentia, so it's a kind of signaling a significant shift also in the DRC approach to justice. So our telephone number, if you would like to add your thoughts, it's 08-333-66-091. So 08-333-66-091. And we come into you live from Ondangwa studio. So, all right. So, and if you want to come through, please do so. But we go to other topical issues as well that are around, that are, you know. So now let's look at the I want us now to dissect the issues that, you know, so in this segment, in this next segment, I want us to talk about the end of an era. not Kabila one, but at the end of an era, the end of AGOA, the African Growth and what is AGOA? African Growth and Opportunity Act, you know, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. So, after 25 years, let's get to the one that is knocking on my door right now. Very good morning. Yes. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right too, Mike. Mike, I think in the history keeping repeating itself.
No, this is too much.
Very much, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Now, if you look what has been happening,
yeah,
regarding the president of DRC, whoever take off, it's always complicating when it comes to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about Mabutu Sese Seko, you talk about a lot of them. They went through the same thing.
The father of Kabila also, you know, Kabila himself.
The Kabila. Yeah, exactly. Before you talk of, you see, these are, I don't know, man. I think DRC are just having a case or something.
Yeah, that's why I said DRC and Israel and Palestine are more like the same, you know, unending wars and conflict.
I'm telling you.
That it doesn't end. Yes, it takes a different nature all the time, you know.
Always turning around, seriously.
Yeah, and possibly also, maybe we need to look at this in a deeper level because of the natural of the resources that are in that country. There could be external forces that are actually benefiting from the conflict, you know.
Yeah. That is happening, you know what? It's happening because you are having too many people who are poor.
Yeah.
And the country is having a lot of natural resources, but people who are not benefiting at all. It's very easy to influence. I mean, anybody can come in to influence your people to turn against you. And it's very easy to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because everybody can say that we are rich, but we got nothing to it. So what instead of people are getting rich every day, they are outside living, they are building their castle in some countries. Talk about Namibia, we don't want to mention things happening.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there are a few leaders who really don't care about the nation. And they only care about their own belly.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
And that put the country into a plunder of poverty and instability where women and children mostly suffers, and not even suffers. Women and children, everybody suffers.
Everybody.
I don't know why the life of men are not considered. We always said women.
Yeah, no, we are like that. Is always a woman and child. We don't want to.
Yeah.
Whenever even something happening, women and children have to be let to go.
Yeah. When men dying, nobody cares.
When men must stay, nobody cares about it much. But when it's a kid involved or woman, the government is going to respond. Yeah. But the thing is that
when you're looking at this seriously, sometimes we read this and we kind of like, okay, something happening in DRC doesn't really impact us much. But first of all, you have to think, DRC is a member of SADC. Is this how we want our judicial systems in our countries, operate like?
No.
And the other thing is that what is the region really
responding to
this kind of behavior, if you like, of a member, and and also when we're talking about the Africa the African continental trade free area, it will never happen. When we have
a tension like that happening,
so we can talk about it, get on the mountain and say until you can't say it no more. But that won't happen when you have situations like this.
No, it's not happening. But right now, if you look, what is happening in DRC, and now. With you as a president of DRC, and then you come up with the judgment like that.
It's the military actually who came up with that.
And a military court. But you already know that you have a tension with Rwanda.
Yeah.
And do you think Rwanda are not going to respond when you are?
It's not only Rwanda. These guys have been a president for 18 years in that country. So he still have he still have networks, he still have actually forces that are loyal to him. And that fuel more conflict again. That's actually fuel conflict. Rather than
unite.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because remember one thing, there was like a negotiation, and I thought maybe they come to the term where they can agree with Rwanda. Now, a court of justice and military to come up with something like that. And I remember one thing that it was last year or a year before.
Yeah.
Where justice, they killed almost like, I think it's 200 or one something. Kamadev, those youth are involved in rebellious things where they are destroying the what, and they have to go.
Yeah.
And I thought they get rid of those things because United Nations, they give them a strong warning. And they say, no, there will be no death penalty. Now, how they come up with this one now?
Yeah. The other issue that you have to look at in a broader term is like, if we are justifying, let's say for example, we have Burkina Faso, we have Mali, we have Niger, all this actually, are military, those guys are in government because of the military coups that they did. Now, we can praise them in terms of what, what are they doing now in terms of, you know, Burkina Faso and maybe others as well. But
yeah,
is this the way to go? So is this the way to go? Would we like that, you know, in Namibia where if things are not going and then the military should just actually decide? Okay? Is this kind of a way that we want, you know, government that decided on? Despite now whether the people are doing very well, whether those now have taken on, are doing very well. And so is that the way that we would like to go?
No, not at all. And I remember one thing that Tshisekedi was giving
it becoming a pattern. It becoming a pattern.
And I don't understand why now it have to turn against him. Well, you know that maybe because of the one the election coming up.
Yeah.
And now he's trying also to what? Maybe of that Kabila is going to influence what somebody who's going to take over. But
yeah,
that's a democracy.
Mm.
So why we call it democracy? It's a rules, rules. You can even play your targeting, but you don't go to that level. We have to to have a judgment of a death sentence for somebody.
Yeah.
Will you know that you can't really get the light of that law?
Yeah.
And now you are reviling to with against the president, the former president. Is that going to set well with your even voters?
It won't. But the other thing is face if there are alleged atrocity that he have committed. Let him face justice. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But doing
in
it
democracy, we will put a person in custody.
Exactly.
Or he have to be a.
Yeah.
Why now with death sentence? If you said the law is being scrapped from the country.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
And now, no man. I don't think. We wait for the Sadek Tribunal Court, what they are going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, serious, because now I don't think that is necessary to be done in that way. Because I remember that time when our founding father was alive, Kabila came here secretary because when Tshisekedi was elected, I think there was a tension before with him. And
was,
the lawyers did not
know. Was that Kabila or the other Kabila, the founder?
It was this Joseph Kabila.
Oh, was it Joseph? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When Tshisekedi take over the chair of to be
it's
to be president.
Him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, from him.
Yeah.
Kabila was here.
Yeah.
To come to our founding father, because the tension was already started when this guy get elected. But seriously, this is not the way to solve the problem.
Yeah, no, I mean...
I think you are fueling more fire.
At this...
Because they are... I think it's a well-established...
Yeah.
Among the third country. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You're not going to end your world.
Yeah, no, at this day and age, it's just taking us back, you know? And,
yeah,
and believe me, that has influence on regional security.
Very much, I'm telling you.
And if we don't deal with that one, it hampers our development. In the region.
Very much.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So whether we like
because
it or
now,
not. Yeah.
Those things are going to affect us. Because remember one thing that we as a Namibian, we supply a lot of material to go to Kajasi.
Yeah.
Just when they come our tracker drivers, every day there's four or five trucks are leaving. Just the way our trucks are coming from South Africa,
yeah.
I think we are sending more trucks than even comparing to Angola to DRC.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really,
you're
going to hamper
our business.
Not a joke.
Yeah, our growth in terms of intra trade between African countries. Yeah,
which is true.
All right.
I think they can do. There's another way to deal with it. That maybe if what they are saying is involving in the rebel of what Rwanda.
Yeah.
There's a way to solve it.
Yeah.
Not with a death penalty. No.
Yeah.
There must be something else that they can do instead of thinking of that way. Because even the GLC people in themselves, they are capitalizing a lot of white supporters.
Yeah, no, definitely. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That one is not going to end the world.
And even atrocities are committed from both sides. The government has
I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you that when the scrap of that law for death penalty, it's because of what 200, when did they kill the youth? in Gansot. Then the United Nations, they come there. Because there's a guy, I don't know what his name, with the Afolo.
Yeah.
I think he's a minister of defense or something. Yeah, he's the one who could give a command. And the United Nations, you know,
Lucien, the one they're talking about.
Yeah, that one. The short one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, they said they scrubbed the law. And now they are bringing it back.
To sentence the ex-president.
Things don't work that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael, let me give other people a chance and maybe they will come through. But I will come with your second topic.
All right. No, thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Okay, my brother.
Very good morning to you. What is your contribution, really? So what do you say? I think there are bigger issues than just, you know, sometimes when we listen to headlines and we dismiss this in terms of, well, this is something that happened in DRC and all that. But it has a really big impact on the region.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Morning. Yes, your radio or your, I think it'd be app. I don't know which one is which.
Yeah, it's the app. Sorry for that, yeah.
Yeah.
DRC conflict.
Yeah. Actually, sentence of Kabila. Kabila being sentenced.
The initiation of Joseph Kabila to be prosecuted.
Yeah.
That is where the conflict are coming in.
Yeah, definitely.
Because on the look of things, Joseph Kabila is not the one that is causing the M23. Because Joseph was against those ethnic, those people who are burning outside, the Tutsi people.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were not wanted to promoting them. Yeah, on the higher rank of the army.
Mm.
The from people like the Terminator, Bastan Daganda, and Lola Nkunda. So from there, those guys think they're starting to locate. But in northern Kivu, where that area is conflicting, even Mobutu Sese Seko's government were not to reach that area. And for the look of things, that is where the government, Laurent Kabila government and Joseph Kabila's government, they were not supporting that area. So the conflict was incoming because of those neighboring countries involved.
Yeah. It looks like the government has never really had control over that eastern area.
Yes.
Eastern region, yeah.
Yeah. So for now, the initiation of this to the military court bring up Kabila in, that is what I'm confused to understand what is really happening. Because I follow up that history of Kabila from Mobutu up to CCKD, those members and others, they are also a part of the rebel, not the government, but to benefiting through the traditional authority and the traditional kingdom, what. So, for this issue of absence of Joseph Kabila to be in court, I think it's a political issue. As I always say, geopolitics is controlling African countries.
Yeah.
Because they don't want, because of the money that he has, they don't want him to be a part of them.
Yeah.
Also, remember now he will run away from that country forever. Yeah, once he come, they will be arresting him and lifting that he sentence.
Mm.
So he will not come and support him the any candidate from their party.
Yeah. Would be also a kind of like a fear of his influence in the country on the opposition as well. There are still a number of people that are loyal and have some network with him, and if he's rallying up the opposition, that could be really powerful, isn't it?
Yes, because the Kabila himself, the roots is outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more of his roots is outside because some they are saying it come from Tanzania. Some they are saying, yeah, because of time that they're spending in Uganda. Yeah, so all those things are there. Because those countries are benefited because of the struggle of Laurent Kabila. He was moving around because of that, and that is where some of those countries want to benefit. So I think, to me, it looks like it's to cutting off from some of those foreigners to be a part of the DRC politics. So for them to send these guys just to distance or to separate him from political of DRC.
Yeah, it's a kind of way to legally remove that possibility, you know, and sideline him completely. Yeah.
Yes, I think that is one of the.
Yeah.
And come to Sadat, beneficial or the mirror of Sadat now here is that.
Yeah.
The Sadat government, some they are not supported in the Tshisekedi era, because remember Tshisekedi now are involving Americans in exchanging of moving or separated from the Chinese.
Yeah.
So, and as countries, strong countries like Zimbabwe, with Mnangagwa wanting to benefit through the Chinese contract.
Yeah.
So, and the Zambians, they don't want it to be a part of DRC because whatever minerals they are exchanging, the same that you can get in Charles, no matter, I mean, in Zambia, no matter, it's not that big enough to compete with DRC. So, Namibia here, country was Nana enemy or what? Yeah, it has no much to say in Namibia. Our politics is something that we look at. Do we have any say to causing the, because as we like peace, and that is one thing we don't want him to be involved of conflict,
being aligned to one, you know, one position rather than just, you know, we are more for peace.
We are more for peace. It might end up keep quiet to say something that let us look at this, but if they make, because since I get it now, he might end up saying it's not my it's not on my control, because it's a treason. We are talking about treason here. Remember those boys that you wanted him to remove since I get it, they are supported by American, so that is another thing which I'm saying, it might end up, since I get it, might end up defending himself. And remember, Tshisekedi is not interesting to engaging with Sadat. I remember when they were having a meeting in Tanzania, he was absent. He took it a virtual because of that. So for that reason, I think Sadat have no much into defending Joseph Kabila because of the Tshisekedi distancing himself from the group or from the region. So those are now the thing that this is just distance, because if they were wanted to really a court or a trial, they could be tracing him, because Joseph Kabila were looking for
he turned up in Goma. There was a record that apparently he turned up in Goma and have a meeting with some religious leaders and who else, you know.
Yeah, you see now. That is the influence. That's why I'm saying Joseph was not a part of the M23.
Yeah.
Or the conflict of those guys. But if because of his money now that is supported those label now, he might end up one of them. And he might end up the reason that driving the military to look for him.
Actually, you end up going, the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
That is what I'm seeing that. But you are looking for a country to live in.
Yeah.
In South Africa, South Africa is not a well-protected country. If you went into political asylum in South Africa, you would be killed in 2 days' time. So he ran away from there. Namibia is a small country when it comes to the security issue, protecting somebody. It was, it cannot. So he was, he's here and there. Because of the father, the conflict with the Uganda, he cannot be living in Uganda. Rwanda is the same. Chad is another issue. Central Africa is the same, because Central African conflicts are also caused by the DRC people.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the problems, because Bemba was also involving in Central Africa.
Yeah.
That was when he was sentenced because of that.
Yeah.
So he have nowhere to go. In Europe, I think they will be handing him back to the DRC government. So that, yeah, let's hear what the SADC are saying regarding to the trial. But on the look of things, this is a political into driving Kabila out of the
political picture completely.
Yeah, out of the picture.
Yeah.
So those are the on my view, it looks like the DRC conflict has nothing to do with Kabila. Because Kabila was the one who was sidelining, who are the one that team up with his father's group, that they were not wanted in the supporting of Rwanda, the supported of Uganda. So, and then they end up saying, you know, we are looking for the southern support. So that was the cause of Rwanda to be a full supported of M23 and protected Lawland and Ngunda because of that. So Ngunda is still in Rwanda.
Yeah.
Because no matter the Terminator, Basco Ntaganda and the others, they are in Hague for now, or they've been sentenced there. I never followed them, but I know them, they were there. Ntaganda was also one of the richest men into making money out of Northern Kivu. But he was not a part of Joseph Kabila on that.
Yeah.
Because Kabila is the one who sidelining all those non-recognizing tribes in DRC. Anyway, let's see.
For coming through and for your contribution here.
Okay, my brother. Yeah. Have a good day.
Same to you.
A very good morning to you. We talk about Kabila's sentence, death sentence. So,
a very good morning to you.
Mr. Sevilla, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm good.
Yeah, we're talking about Kabila's death sentence.
We're talking about Kabila's death sentence. I like the previous caller. We cannot talk about Kabila's death sentence in isolation.
Yeah.
Without talking about the involvement of the three Tutsi countries, mainly Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi.
And Burundi,
And where it all started. Because, look, in order for Kabila, the father, to become a president, it's because Maputo Sese Seko was no longer relevant to run the country.
Yeah.
And they need to pick one. A person that's going to lead this particular new government.
Yeah.
And they use Kabila. Because you must understand that Joseph Kabila was non-empty for many years in Tanzania.
We don't know Laurent Kabila or Joseph Kabila?
Laurent Kabila, the father.
Yeah.
Because you need to start from there. He was non-active. Who supported him in order to become a president? It was the same Tutsi countries.
Yeah.
That supported him. When he took over, with these kids called the child soldier called the Kidogo.
Yeah, yeah.
The Kidogos, who gave him the Kidogos? It was Rwanda, in Uganda. But what was the agreement when Kabila becomes a president? Because there's nothing for Mahala. There's no one that loves you well enough that they want to do things for you.
Just for free.
So there were conditions. So the thing is, this Kabila did not go along with those conditions because he did not agree with those conditions.
Now, the Joseph Kabila or the Laurent Kabila?
The Laurent Kabila Senior.
Yeah.
He did not agree with that. That's why they started going after him. And then he had to come to SADC to seek for help.
Yeah.
Because they were just about to reach Kinshasa. So that's why he came to ask for help. But also when he came to ask for help, it was also not for free at the end of the day. we are not mercenaries that are just coming to you for free. Anybody has a condition in helping.
Of course.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's how politics play.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Kabila died, the father, being killed by one of the Kidogo, a child named I forgot the name. So that particular child soldier that killed him, the son had to take over because they wanted a familiar place, because they were asking who should take over.
Yeah.
Rashidi, yes, Rashidi is the one who killed him. Who should take over? So that's why they chose Joseph Kabila. But one thing that we must understand is that Joseph Kabila, his mother is Tutsi.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing that you must also understand is that the three Tutsi countries, they wanted a big chunk involvement in what into Kabila's government, Congo's government, by having Tutsis who are holding a powerful position in Kabila's government.
Yeah.
That this is what they want. This is what they wanted from the beginning. And because of that particular disagreement, that's how things turned the way they are. But when Joseph Kabila became a president, well, how come there was peace all of a sudden?
Mm.
Because one thing that we must understand is that a child is always loyal to their lineage.
Exactly. Yeah.
To where you came from.
Mm. And so, especially if they are the one who have supported you to get on that chair. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
So agreements were reached. That's why there was peace.
Yeah. But then this death sentence, do you think it's a genuine act of justice or it's a political maneuver?
We must understand when Kabila left Congo, where did he go to? He went to Rwanda.
Mm.
When there was this particular conflict, in the middle of a conflict, you are coming into the region where there's a conflict.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I would ask myself, what made it safe for you to enter into that region?
Mm.
And you went and had a meeting with these leaders for what? At the end of the day, those are the questions that one must ask himself. That what made it safe for you to go into my enemy's country,
yeah,
and then get safe passage to come into a conflict zone? So right there already, he was already guilty by association.
Yeah.
So him getting involved in that particular situation, it became already a political involvement for him.
Yeah.
That's why for him to be tried on a political level is because his actions were political themselves.
Mm.
They did not decide this that while Kabila was somewhere to certain island enjoying himself. You know, it's because of that particular involvement, and they know the power of his involvement.
Yeah.
So obviously, Tshisekedi also, you understand that he declared war against Rwanda at one particular time, and even though he knows that his army is not well funded, or well supported, he also needed to react because out of that particular frustration.
And that probably that's why he had an agreement with the United States. Yeah.
That's why he has an agreement with the United States because, mm-hmm, look, because what he's saying is this. Instead of you buying these things from Rwanda, and Rwanda is getting them from me through my country, why don't you buy directly from me?
Mm.
That's basically all that he asked.
Yeah.
So all these things has to do with the resources that Congo has. That's why these three Tutsi countries want to get involved. They will always have critics whereby Kagame will say that he's going after the FDRL that is being that is in Congo.
Mm.
And Burundi will do the same thing, that they are also against the rebels that are in Congo. Yeah. They are coming for them. So at the end of the day, they are using this particular pretext in order to get themselves, because especially that particular mineral rich. Rich area.
Mm.
That's what their focus is on.
Yeah. How does this really? How does this reflect on SADC now, and maybe also on Africa in general? You know.
The thing is this, it's a bad reflection, especially when it comes to studies that South Africa was the only country that had peace troops in there. So there is some sort of reflection, because look, you must understand that the central, I don't know what do they call that particular central, is it ECOWAS?
ECOWAS. That's the, ECOWAS is the eastern one. Which part of that? It's ECOWAS, yeah.
Because they wanted DRC to join them, but DRC ended up joining SADC.
SADC, yeah.
So those are some of the other things that we also have to put into consideration. But one thing that I will say is that it's difficult for you to make decisions if you don't have a strong army. When Namibia, South Africa, especially Zimbabwe, when they went into that particular country, our heads begin to turn because we were busy interrupting with the looting of that particular country at the end of the day. So that's why they had to come, that's why a certain decision has to be made from upstate. Because I remember one of your first caller says that the country is always a mess.
Yeah.
From Mobutu to the circle, but why is it a mess during the Mobutu time? Who was supporting Mobutu? Was it not the West?
It was the West, yeah.
It was the West.
Mm.
So in order for Kabila to come to become a president, who supported them? This way, Western country that was supported by him, because look, all this particular minerals that are coming from Congo is the one that we use in our electrical gadgets right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
But when you look at Kabila, when he died in the Rashiki, the boy that killed him, in his pocket, they found a business card that belonged to a lady named Hassanini Sandusky, who was in part of the military attaché that was at United States, or what that was stationed at the United States embassy in Kinshasa.
Yeah.
So there was that link already that is there. So there's no way that you can just get to lead a country peacefully. If you are not confirming to what the demand of those that are more powerful than you. So this whole entire thing of Congo being a mess, it's not that the leadership is a mess itself. Congo is made to be a mess deliberately so that it can be ungovernable. Because at one time, even you had a coalition government where you have all these rebel groups that were in this leadership position in order to maintain peace. That's what one of the things that Kabila did.
Yeah.
But it was difficult to maintain that. That's why you have this M23, that particular disagreement that they have of March. So there's basically so much that is going on. Because when you look at even in 2021, where there was an agreement between Tshisekedi and Museveni for them to build a road network. And what was also happening that time? Also, Uganda was going to have troops in Congo, whereby Burundi decided to have their troops in Congo. And then Kagame said, and which frustrated Kagame. Kagame said that if I'm not invited, I'm going to invite myself. So obviously, when we come to Joseph Kabila, Kabila's loyalty is to his lineage. And what is his lineage? It's the Tutsi tribe.
Yeah.
Because the Tutsi, they have a particular perception about themselves already. So,
The other aspect is also made to bring in that is the African continental free trade areas. That if, when we talk about these, how tensions like that and what is going on, how does that actually influence or impact the African continental free trade area?
The thing is you can't have a proper free trade that is beneficial for all, both of us, especially when your country is not secured.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have drivers, truck drivers that are saying that it's dangerous to go into Congo. Now, you have this trade, because if you have trade, then there's a movement of goods. Now, these goods, I'm not always sure whether my goods will be able to reach where they need to be.
Yeah.
Safely. So if you don't have peace in your country, because look, for trade, one of the things that the people first look before when it comes to trade agreement is first peace in your peace, country.
Stability, yeah.
Stability. That's the first primary one that the people look at. So if that is basically missing, it affects that. The same as you have trucks that are burning in South Africa as well. It affects our trade agreements.
Yeah.
And the benefits thereof. When we have instability in Zimbabwe, it affects the whole of SADC.
Yeah.
Because we are no longer carrying each other the particular shared weight. It's just the same thing what happened to Europe when the economy of Greece collapsed.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, everybody else is affected, and everybody has to carry a weight much heavier than they're supposed to.
All right.
Let me give a chance to others.
No, thanks for coming through, man, and for your contribution. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Very good morning to you. You can reach us, you can have your say, you can have your thoughts and contribute on on the sentence of ex-president Joseph Kabila to death. You know, so well, he's not going to be executed because they don't know where he is, so yeah, so all right. 08333 66091, and we're coming to you live from Ondangwa studio.
You got a fan? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for sending me yesterday. I got your advice and I got connected.
Okay, you manage, ne?
Yeah, I manage.
Ah, okay. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
I think if we really require effective negotiators.
Yeah.
So we talk about the Namibian people.
Mm.
Especially perhaps because of the war, from the experience of the war,
yeah,
for the colonialism and the apartheid system. So they are really good in terms of negotiation.
Yeah.
And I think I have some proofs to attest to that. Even when there was even a time that DRC, what is it? The Congo.
Yeah, DRC, Congo, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was a time when there was a kind of a breakthrough. And the late Dr. Habib Benkoff, which is what's in peace, almost neutralized everything.
Yeah.
When he was heading the protocol had to do with peace and all these things. The only unfortunate situation was that it was just almost at the end of his term before he gave to somebody who was heading that that board, at the right board. And even when you look at many other areas, Mozambique and many other areas, South Africa, despite the fact that they're using their legal system, all these principles of values, many times they were actually in favor of their apartheid system. So, but after Namibia got independence, the kind of negotiation, just look at their constitution.
Yeah.
It's actually almost a cut and paste of the Namibian constitution.
Yeah. Which one is
that? Many legal principles. Yes, the African constitution.
Yeah.
So now, and when it comes to issues of, I'm just talking about, it doesn't matter who is supporting who and who.
Yeah.
But then my concern, that's why perhaps Namibia stands out as an example republic state.
Yeah.
I mean republic. I do think the government. Namibian people anyway. So now when you look at what is happening there now, even if you are now to say, well, this person's action mission.
Yeah.
That he has done justify the kind of crime, because that one is, if you are now supporting like Labour, you know, country and all these things, you can see the atrocity that has been committed. And we know very well that there should have been people behind those kind of things. But if you are now a former president and you are arranged to have been involved in those treasons, because that's a crime. That crime is...
And those atrocities,
It's serious. So, and there are people who are calling people to, that they should not step in this land, the warrant of arrest and all these other things. You understand?
Yeah.
Even the people who are really fighting for the justice cause. So now, I don't know, Namibia's mark is clear. Even when it comes to the having a permanent seat in the United Nations Security Council. So we have been the best negotiator and we are still good negotiators. We were able to even convince the UN, United Nations. Hence, they accepted, especially those Swapokadas. They accepted Swapo as the sole representative of the Namibian people during that time.
Are you suggesting that Namibia maybe should actually take the leading role, in negotiating between, you know, between the government, DRC government, and M23?
That negotiation, the stage was set already by the Dr. Hage Geingob. I told you already that there was a time when there was serious conflict there, and they went in, and everything almost stabilized.
Yeah, but it's worse now. I'm just asking, should we do that again? Should Namibia be given that opportunity?
Of course. You know very well that we might not have intervened militarily, and I know we were also part of those negotiations in terms of security arrangement. And now that the situation is there, so obviously, so I think the foundation, the ground was laid already. So if they were going to capitalize, leverage on those good terms and conditions and things like that. So why not? They can just follow that example. How do we negotiate? Because for us, we are saying that that slogan, you see, enemy to known, and that's issue. How do you say it?
Enemy, I forgot it sometimes.
We don't side. We don't take sides. We want to make sure that that mutual and that negotiation should also look at the other side. Because if you are just looking at your own side, your own interest, your own concern, and you might not be able to understand the culture of that person, it will be very difficult. So you must negotiate from the other side's perspective as well, so that you can now create a, might not be a win-win situation, but obviously everybody will benefit. So Mike, thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you for coming through. All right.
A very good morning to you. Our time is about 28 minutes past the hour of nine. So let's move to let's be, this is the last one maybe on this topic, and we get into
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, good morning, boss. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
It's great.
Yeah.
What is happening, are we saying?
So you're just coming through? You know, you're not listening.
We talk about Kabila's
sentence.
No.
Sentence, not invited.
While he's in isolation.
Yeah, they don't even know where he is. You know, so yeah, he is being sentenced in absentia. That means he was not present.
He was sentenced, not present.
Sentenced to death.
I think. Is there going to be elections? It seems like it's going to be elections day or something.
I think there is I need to check that out. Is the election something? So I think there is some. There's some election coming up. I'm not too sure.
When did Tshisekedi. When did he take power?
Tshisekedi, yeah.
Yeah, Tshisekedi. When did he take power? Three or two years ago, or is it?
I think 3 years ago.
Is that is that, because it seems that is his first term.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is just a way of mobilizing, or actually putting things in places. I think maybe Kabila might have some connections, or maybe some were actually lobbying for him to come back and then
could be
mobilize, and then perhaps maybe be the president, and then they realize, no, before times, or be, well, we have to come up with something beforehand in order to antagonizing him and degrade him and put him away to make sure that he's not going to come back, or he might not have any influences in our election or something like that.
No, it's actually...
Or there might be somebody...
If the story is... I mean, from internet, if it's right, the next presidential election is scheduled for December 16, 2028. I'm not too sure whether that's correct information.
Yeah, that could be the reason. Could be the reason.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know, in DRC, we'll never be at peace. In DRC, or the M23, their leaders are not interested in peace or negotiations.
Mm.
Their interest is where DRC is now. That is exactly the center of their interest.
Mm. And they don't see the plug in which they actually put the country, where women and people are suffering and all that. Yeah,
they don't care about that. Their interest is for DRC to be where it is, so that they can actually splunder and do whatever they want to do and roots and whatsoever.
Mm.
The main purpose is to root the countries, the resources and everything. So that's why...
But probably you would say that that's actually from external forces, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, the head of the snake, it's in Rwanda. And then actually it's being supported from the European corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big companies, the big techs.
Mm.
They are the ones that are there. And
that actually need these resources, actually. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So you remember when they took that town. So what was the name of the town there?
Ngoma or the other one? What if it's K?
I just couldn't really remember which one was it, but I remember.
Something that starts with K.
Yeah.
K.
Kagame. Kagame was given money under the pretext of building houses to host the asylum seekers from Europe.
Yeah.
It turns out that money was actually given for Kagame to put reinforcement in the M23s and also to recruit some machineries.
Yeah.
So yes, they were from Europe. A lot of them, and they were actually put between the. They were actually put there in order to protect the government. Army militaries, but. The thing was like, the setup was like, once the rebels comes, you guys, you surrender.
Yeah.
And then the government's militaries will have got no power to resist. Because they were actually hoping that you guys will stop them then, and they will have to come in and encounter. But that is not what happened. And you see, when it happened, those guys, they just went. Freely.
Mm.
They just went out of Russia, because the actualists wanted to take that down. That is what they wanted. So, you know, I was very happy with the initiative taken by Cyril Ramaphosa to mobilize the SADCs and all the willing African countries to set up an army to go and push these things.
Mm.
But, you know, people of Africa, we don't know how that the greater powers, they do play political influence, or let me say sphere of influences in their countries.
Yeah.
And I would say South Africa was actually in the positions to do that, because South Africa have got a strong army, and then they were under, they are under the umbrellas of securities, them being part of the BRICS countries. So it was a very good initiative for Sri Ramaphosa to make sure that the influences of the foreign corporates and countries are actually eliminated from there.
Yeah.
But you know, us Africans, people started talking too much. Yeah, they are having companies, they are having mines there, they are enriching themselves. This is the way it is in the world of democracy.
Yeah.
When you don't have, when you hold maybe 25% of your minerals, where is the other 75% of your minerals, global south minerals, where are they? Mm. They're in the hand of those peoples.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do they use? They use their resources. Militaries, they give military aid. They do that in order for them to protect their interests.
Their interests, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And then at the end of the day, their economies grows. If a certain individual or a government itself is having a mine in DRC, when the money comes here, it will stimulate the economies of the country. Eventually, that money will not only be in the pocket of that individual.
Yeah.
That individuals have to do business, obviously.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that money will end up in the government treasuries. You see? And this is what we don't know.
Mm.
This is what, even the Americans, they themselves, they have this, they have a decree, they call it a Monroe Doctrine.
Yeah.
Whereby they don't allow other foreign ministry from other hemisphere to come to their sphere there.
Mm.
They don't allow it. That's why there is an encounter now between Venezuela and America. Simply because the Chinese, after Venezuela was sanctioned by the previous administration of Trump, and then that time in 2016 or 2015, they are around.
Yeah.
The whole country's economy corrupts, and the Chinese comes in and they offer loans, and then they started to turn around the whole economy of Venezuela. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, now, and this is the reason why Trump said, no, when I left, Venezuela was on the knees, who could have taken the oil, who could have taken the oils. You see?
Yeah.
But they are playing a spheres of influence. Now, for us in Africa, we don't do that for two reasons. We are completely blinded by propaganda, and we don't know how do these things are being played. You see, and one of the problem is that we are somehow vulnerable.
Yeah.
Once you start doing that behind scenes, our leaders are actually getting pressures from them that we are going to, those that have interest there in DRC.
Yeah.
Going behind scenes, calling our leaders, say, look, you know you owe us. We are going to impose economical pressure on you.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons. Mm. And this is where I'm saying, until Africa understand all this method, the way they are actually being played, you would wonder in Namibia when people are going to war, people will say, no, our children are not going to war, they are not going to war. The Americans are all over.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good point.
You don't hear any American complaining about that.
When we hear about, because they are protecting their interests, you know? And when we hear about a former president being sentenced to death, it's easy to dismiss it as an internal DRC matter, but this is not just about Kabila. It's about the ongoing violence and in the role of neighboring countries and the struggle.
The whole Africa.
Yeah, for the control over this immense wealth, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You see, I think, you know, I was listening and then I was laughing, you know, when the defense is recruiting.
Yeah.
If one of the children are not taken, people will start talking. Oh, why is our children not recruited? What? But when it says they are going to war, my God. A soldier has taken an oath to defend the countries and the continent.
The country's sovereignty and the country's interest.
Of course, that is how it is. And these are the things that we need to understand. Look at the Israelis. People who had never had the countries of their own, and the Saudi has taken that decision to defend that country that they have taken away from the Palestinians. It is their interest, you see. Hello?
You get me,
you understand. But we are unable to defend our own continent. When we talk about economical emancipation, we talk inclusively the whole continent.
But the funny thing is this, we don't realize that by defending DRC, and having actually peace in DRC, it's actually benefiting us than the way things are now.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's really in Africa's interest, it's in Namibia's interest, in Botswana's interest. So, but we don't seem to see that and be able now to kind of have some concerted effort to say, look, we need to end this. This need to end.
You know, in the 1965, if I'm not wrong, history is telling me that Fidel Castro sent his army in DRC to send and then they were able to chase or to defeat the Belgium army that was there. You see? But you know, the Cubans, they didn't take anything for their For what they have done for the DRC.
Yeah, just like when they were in Angola,
Yeah, exactly. The same way. Those are the citizens of Cuba who died here for our freedoms. But we are refused for our people to die for the freedoms of our own continent.
Yeah.
The noise that was actually happening there, especially in South Africa, oh my goodness. So this can be like, even if the country itself is under threat or under war, people could even say that the army is not going to war.
Could it also because of let's say for example, because of transparency, you know, it looks like, you know, there aren't things that are very clear, you know, and sometimes you're not too sure where to be, you know, would you support Rwanda, for example, or would you, you know, maybe some people are not, don't like actually the current government and how it get to, you know, to govern. So it's all, and each one, as you said, and each country have interest, you know, and they don't see that this guy now would actually fulfill my interest, and therefore I'm not prepared to be involved.
That is the thing. You said something about Rwanda. Rwanda, for me, Rwanda is not advocating for peace in DRC.
Exactly. So
they don't want peace. Just like I told you at the beginning, that they don't want peace. They want DRC to be where it is. You see, Rwanda is advanced now because of DRC's minerals.
Yeah, it's more like the eastern region is more like now belong. It's another part of Rwandan Rwanda region.
Yeah.
Now you're looting the resources that are there and make massive
country.
Yeah, of a neighboring country and make massive.
Under the pretext
massive
of that, those two states or whatever, those people, they are also DRCs.
Exactly.
But they could come around the tables and then have an agreement or having a consensus as to how they have to benefit and help the brothers.
Exactly.
Help the brothers to be free and develop their countries. They could do that.
Yeah.
But why don't they do that? It is because their bosses are there behind them. This is where I'm saying there are two leaders that I don't like here in Africa.
Yeah.
It's that one of Rwanda. And the one of Kenya. I don't like those two leaders. Yeah, because they are not this patriot of Africa. They don't like Africa. Yeah, they
It's protectionists. Yeah.
Yeah. They are just, I don't know. Well, let me give a chance to others also to contribute.
All right, Stoff, thanks for coming through and for your contribution, really. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
45 minutes, 15 minutes to 10 o'clock. Do please come through and have your thought. So I'm not going to go into the AGOA things again for 15 minutes because it's so important to just leave it hanging. So because I may even get somebody tomorrow to talk on this. Yeah, so, but do come through. And if you want to talk about the DRC and the death sentence of the ex-president of DRC, Mr. Kabila. So that's what we're talking about. So what is your say? What is your take of this? So 08333-66091, 08333-66091.
Omutiha with the Trocabula, Imatina, Onjo, Chicago Shafa, and Anna, Longishifa, Yaji, Moshuana, Iamoyawa, or Tango Botamani, Anna Gashifa, Yanamibia, of the Tom Banara, Onjika, Taitanina, Omeru, Nidanitoma, Ye, Longishifa, Okupiamo, Ikelefon, Media House, where 20 Miha, Uka Kumanganina. Kara omkoshi pregi imopo yomo programa yetu moambo lingira soma kodarani tatu imu tatu ndatu kheri hamano kano kwa diaj ikele fem so hava.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 9, and we still have about 12 minutes before we come to an end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. Maybe let me go to the global financial system is working for Namibia. So because that was the president Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah recently spoke out calling for a fairer financial system.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
People are putting things in pieces, man. Yeah. The person that you are going to get tomorrow, make sure that he know much about DRC. Because if you are saying the DRC...
No, no, tomorrow I'm actually... I'm looking for someone to talk about AGOA, not DRC.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to go into that topic now and said it's only about 15 minutes. I won't do justice to it, yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
So the rebel of DRC, those M23 boys, they born in DRC by the Tutsi tribe from those... from Rwanda. So those Tutsis, they came long back in 1950s.
To
because of the kingdom that was hashing to them.
Just before you go on, do you think maybe the colonial border has also contributed to this kind of conflict?
Not that much because they come from the kingdom, the territories. So when they say we are a part of the territory of the other side, it's where the problem was. Because if you look at the for example, our border with Angola, it was also the same thing that the part of the this Okwajama where we are now, Namibians, were not much occupied than the other side. So those are the type of things that they said, no, the territory is for this one. But unfortunately, because people were driving out from that side to this side, we're having now, we divided it like that. It's not that it's contributed much to the conflict, but on the look of things of the colonial borders now that they are there, it's where they said, you know, you have to go back to origin.
Because the accusation in terms, because the M23 is actually a Rwandan, they're not actually the DRC, and that could also be then because, and some said, well, these are actually the DRC. You know, so and that's why I'm thinking, does the colonial border sometime it doesn't do justice to how we understand how, because there could be you may have some people, let's say for example you have Kwanyama that in Angola but have families in Namibia, and they could possibly come to Namibia and be involved in the war in Namibia.
Yes, but this one, like the M23 leader, Laula Nkunda, is a well-educated person. He was working in the university. But because of the peace that we wanted, as I say, the land that was not occupied and then it came to occupied by immigrants, is where the problem are. It's the same that we are having. I don't want to talk much about Namibia, but I'm talking DRC here.
Yeah.
It's where those Tutsis that is in DRC, Northern Kivu side, they were driven by those kingdoms to come in that area. But the Kinshasa government under Laurent Gunda, Laurent Kabila, they end up saying, we are not including the Rwandian because they are a lot. Remember, this marching, it was happening facing to Rwanda with the Laurent Kabila involved, Kagame involved, Museveni involved, for them to put in peace in or to end in the genocide.
Yeah.
So after that is where now they said, Laula Nkunda, you have to go back to your country so that you can take out to Seseseko. So those are when now the government end up there, because of the Tutsi that they are involved, because of the government of Rwanda that they are involved, Kabila were not one including the Tutsis, because he doesn't know the origin of the Tutsis that were born in DRC, and the one that was just a part of the army. Because Kagame wanted to put in his spy on the army of DRC. That is the cause of the problem. That's why I'm saying, for this treason thing and this involvement of of Joseph Kabila, it has nothing much into ending up or saying he's the one who causing the war in Northern.
But how does it contribute to the peace process now that now the government decided, or the military for that matter decided to to actually sentence Kabila to death?
I see, first of all, before that, before to come to Kabila, we have to understand that when Paul Kagame putting the table with the South Africa president in Tanzania, that you don't listen much to Kinshasa government. You have also to listen to the other part of the rebel, that those people there, where they come from,
yeah.
Those rebels, the Tutsis that they are there, they are born in DRC. They have their citizen in DRC. But the Kinshasa government doesn't want them. So now, for Joseph Kabila, as I say before that, Joseph Kabila is a part of the exile Charles. Who are not, some they are not say, some they are saying he is not origin of that country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of the day now, they are convincing now the traditional authority to recognizing and invited in the Kinshasa government for them to have peace on that area. As some of us were saying, they are not one peace. Laura Nkunda, one peace. This boy who is now running the
ministry,
the M23,
yeah.
Is also a full DRC. He wants to sit in the peace. He wanted to be involved in the government. So those are the type of things that we are just talking about. No, they are disturbing peace. They are disturbing what. But what you are also violating my peace. And the South African soldiers to be in DRC, they are there because of UN, not because of the benefit of themselves.
Yeah.
They are there part of the UN, the part of the SADC. So they are there for putting up peace. But unfortunately, the negotiators doesn't want to include the M23 in the table to listen to their side. Why this conflict and on and on? Why young people are stealing? They are still there because you are not getting the ID.
Yeah, but if you can't have them on the table, how do you then solve the problem?
Yes, that is what you have to ask in the previous caller who are saying they don't want him to be. You have to include these boys in the table and listen to them. And that is what is the cause of the war in Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah.
Because Russia, Putin said, Ukraine was a part of Russia for those centuries. It was not Ukraine. It was not a part of Europe. Eh? So at the end of the day, when it comes independent, they don't want Ukraine to make a decision. You have to make it under Russia, which is now UN, is formed because of those things.
Yeah.
We have to keep it the what is comforting people, and why it's not there. And that's why that the Pohamba, former president, said, I don't want the story of Kwanyama what was. In Namibia, because we don't want conflict between Angola and... Because those of Kwanyama for Angola, they are negated by their government. It's not our problem.
Yeah.
So as we are dealing with our Kwanyamas here, first we have to sort it out, the Kwanyamas for this country, for you to talk about the Angolans. You cannot cause conflict between those two countries just because the other one are not getting treatment from their government.
Yeah.
So that is now that the Pohamba is keeping the UN peace, border peace control.
Yeah.
So as I was coming back because of this, I thought you wanting to get somebody who is in DRC. And the other issue of Kabila to be involved in that DRC war, he started long back. Even Che Guevara wanted to support him, but he saw him that he's a coward. When they meeting in Tanzania,
yeah,
and then that is where Che Guevara went into Borovia to be killed, because he wanted to be a part of that country to say, you know, we need a Soviet how do you call it that regime, the communism era that can be in DRC to controlling that because of the Belgium government,
yeah.
So but Kabila was coward. He said, I don't have a soldier and I don't know that jungle very well. And now, when the jungle was now occupied by these Tutsi people,
yeah.
It's where now everybody wanting to evolve, because he knows that they are using people that they know the jungle very well. So anyway, that is how it happened. And that is what Mbemba also. Remember, Mbemba was that side of Central Africa. He was not this side of Northern Cuba. But they were also making money. Yeah. And even this side of Congo Brazzaville in Angola. They are also having rebel there.
Yeah.
So DRC have a lot of rebel under the kingdom. Not only for the power of money, but under the kingdom. The kingdom are also benefited from those resources.
Yeah.
And they are funded those malicious or how to call it.
The malicious, yeah.
Yeah.
The malicious,
so,
yeah.
The peace of DRC will not, if you are not recognizing those tribes.
Yeah.
That is they've been there for years. Because even in here in Namibia, said a person who has been in Namibia for 20 years must be guaranteed what? Citizenship.
Mm.
Yeah. So because he has been on transit for quite long. But in finding someone denied that.
Yeah.
Because of their kids that is went out of their origin country. He said, why your children are no more in Namibia? They are way.
Mm.
That is not my problem.
Mm.
It's a freedom of choice. Because you have to bring up your own freedom of living. Eh? You go to America, you stay there for 7 years, and you guarantee what?
Citizenship.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, great, man. Thanks for coming back, and thanks for your contribution this morning. Yeah? All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and others, especially, we just want to be inclusive. If there are those who might not know who they are and where they stand. So that just brings us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. And I'm going to leave you and love you still. We'll see. Let's book this time again from 8 to 10 tomorrow and do the same. And where we probably looking at another interesting story or topic. So I'm going to leave you in the hands of France, Tate France, coming with Kothamosha. I wish you a very good programming throughout the day here on Eagle FM. So for Mike, for me, Mike Oshaveli, I wish you a pleasant day, the first day of October. And thank you for listening.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Same. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutia, with the Kirakabuna, Imatina, Omjo, Chicago Shafat and Anana, Longishifa, Yao, Shikamoshiwana, Iomoyawa, Otaimbu Botamani, Anadishifa, Yanamibia, Omjom Banawa, Omjika, Safanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Longishifa, Okupiramo, Igelefon Media House, where 22 Miha Uka Kumbanganina. Cara, un pasi fregi, y me puedo yo no programa de tu. Mo amor, de la soma, o dar a mi tatuimu. La tienda tu, jera y jamán en cano, o a mi hach. Y que lo sé, lo hago.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Same.
All right, so I'm back. I said my goodbyes, but so we waiting on Wintuk to take over. We're waiting on Wintuk to take over.
And so while we're waiting, so we still have probably more 5 minutes before we come to the end. So until they let me know when actually to, yeah. So I was also talking about what President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah recently spoke out, calling for a fairer financial system. Yeah, she highlighted a big problem when developing countries like our beloved Namibia need to borrow money. The terms are often much tougher, you know, much more expensive than when richer countries in the global north need to do the same. So, and you see, we all using the same global banks, the same financial rules, but somehow borrowing a dollar for us feel like borrowing a whole bag full of dollars for them. So, and that, dear listeners, is actually the issue the president is actually talking about. So what is the big deal then? What is the deal? So now, maybe think about this. Imagine you, how would I put this? Imagine you are starting a small business in Windhoek. All right? So you start a small business in Windhoek. Or maybe you are a farmer in the north needing a loan for a new equipment. Okay? Now, you go to the bank, and you know your credit score, and you have your business plan, it's well, you know, done. Now, imagine if the bank looked at you and said, because you are from that part of town, because you're from Ondangwa, your interest rate is going to be 10%, okay? And you have to repay that in half the time, okay? So because you're from Ondangwa, nothing else, not because your credit score is not good or not because your business plan is not good, it's just because you are from Ondangwa, so your interest rate is going to be 10, and also your repayment will be even maybe shorter, you know? And now, so, but if someone from a wealthier neighborhood, for example, walks in, they get, say, you know, they say, okay, 3% interest and probably a much longer repayment period. You know, you see the difference. How would that feel? Unfair, definitely. And that essentially what President Nandi-Ndaitwah is saying is happening on the global scale. You know, she pointed out that these harsh borrowing terms, coupled with sometimes inflexible condition and delays in getting the money, actually make it harder for us now as developing nation. It make it harder for us developing nation to build that resilience. You know, resilience, that ability to bounce back when things get tough, like when a drought hits or when a global prices for our export fluctuate, so that resilience become very difficult. So if our loans are already crippling us, you know, because of the conditions that, as that we are given a 10% while actually European countries given 3%. So that in itself is already crippling us. And how can we possibly then invest in things that make us stronger in the long run? So it's like trying to build, you know, if you like, try to stay a steady house, you know, on a shaky foundation. So it's not going to work. So the president mentioned that the current system, it's a bit outdated, rooted in something called the Bretton Woods system. So the Bretton Woods system, which was set up way back after World War II. So now the world have changed. The world have changed since then. You know, the world have changed a lot since then. And we have more countries with growing economies like ours. And we have new global challenges, that we didn't have then, like the climate change, pandemics like COVID when it happened. So she's saying, shouldn't the financial rules change too? You know, it should change and address the reality of where we are now. Shouldn't they reflect today's reality? So where power and influence are more spread out, it's not like in those times. So, and this is not just about, because it's not just about getting loan, it's about having a real say, you know. And that's what she spoke about. She spoke about reform that would give developing countries a louder voice in this international financial institution. So, yeah, and just think about that if you are part of the club, for example, you are part of the club, and only few members get to make all the decisions. So, but everyone has to follow the rules, and everyone has to follow how fair that is. So, yeah, developing countries often rich in resources and very and there is that potential, and we need to be at the table. We need to be at the table making decisions that affect our futures. All right. So yeah, I don't know how far is Wintik. And when we think of Namibia, our own vision as outlined by the president, it is a vision of peace. We're always advocating for peace. So it's for peace, inclusive and resilient democracy. So and crucially, it's a vision that wants to use what we have. And that's the emphasis of the president. What we have brilliant people, abundant natural resources, and our strategic location, which is also very, very important to build a prosperity. You know, that's what we want. We want to build prosperity for everyone, not just for a few, but, you know, a shared prosperity. So that's the vision. And this means looking beyond now, just digging up minerals and exporting raw materials. So, yeah, we are aiming for transformation. We're aiming for economic diversification. So we are talking about sectors like oil and gas, a big one being green hydrogen. So that is the future. That's the future for, and Namibia is perfectly positioned to be a leader. So, yeah, the other, then there's agriculture. Agriculture and turning that produce into finished goods, adding value right here at home. That's the discussion the president talking about. This unjust, so shouldn't be just buzzword, you know, that's are used on the international level or on an international stage. This should be pillars of a plan to build a stronger, a more self-sufficient Namibia. So, yeah, and one thing that we have to remember is that those critical minerals, the world needs for things like electric cars, renewable energy, yeah, all right. So I think the winter people are ready, and well, yeah. All the best. We're crossing over to Wintuk.
Omutiha with the Krokabuna, Imatina, Omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Nongishifa.